I am Gerardo Del Real, along with my business partner, friend and colleague, and co-host, Mr. Nick Hodge, who is the editor and the publisher of Daily Profit Cycle. This is the 341st episode of our weekly therapy session that we call Investing in Bizarro World. We're going to talk gold, we're going to talk silver, copper, uranium, the incredible companies that decided to show up to the podcast today. And then, of course, we're going to have a Q&A session at the end. Please feel free to ask any and all questions that you may have. The other thing that we're going to do is we're going to tell you what we told you last year. That's funner to do in a bull market than it is to do in a bear market. We've had years during bear markets where we are here, and we have to explain to you why the thesis hasn't played out yet, why you have to be patient, and that you have to play the long game. Fortunately for us, the past several years have been very accommodating macro-wise. And again, fortunately, through a lot of hard work, we've been able to do very well for ourselves, friends, family, subscribers. And so we hope to continue to be able to do that. So look, last year was the year of Doge, and the year that we were going to tackle the deficit, and the year that we were going to do away with fraud and waste in government. And regardless of which side of the aisle does that, because I tend not to care too much for either side of the aisle, we were really behind it. We were hopeful. We were enthusiastic. We were looking forward to getting on a fiscal and monetary path that was going to be more disciplined than the past three decades. Unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of faith that that would happen. We hoped it would, but we didn't have a lot of faith that it would happen. And sure enough, it did not happen.
Yeah, we were telling you that that Doge wasn't going to hunt, essentially, is what we were saying last year in this podcast, that we had seen a Trump administration before, that he had run up debts and deficits before, he had printed money before, he had, in fact, demanded his name be on the stimulus checks. I mean, that's not a fiscal conservative type character, right? So there was a lot of fervor here last year. It was right after the election. You know, it was chainsaw time for Elon Musk. And we were saying, look, folks, it's not going to happen. The dollar's not going to strengthen. The debt's not going to go down. That's a pipe dream. And that's going to be continued tailwind for gold, right? So that's the DXY right there. Maybe Gerardo can talk about it a little bit more. But it's pretty easy to see what happened in the first Trump term. And history often repeats and rhymes. And it's precisely what has happened over the past years. We gave this talk last year. I was listening to it in the hotel room earlier, and the DXY was at 106, and then we were saying it's likely going to strengthen to 108, and when Mr. Trump comes into office, it's going to turn back around. He loves the weaker dollar, and that's sort of precisely what happened.
And listen, understanding why he loves the weaker dollar, some of it is because he loves a weaker dollar because anybody that's wealthy likes access to capital at a lower rate. That's just how capitalists work. I myself love access to capital at low rates. However, when you have $36 trillion in debt and you announce a budget that's going to add $2 trillion in debt at the very least, and possibly three every year for the foreseeable future, math tells us, the way Mr. Rick Rule told us yesterday or the day before, that owning gold is likely going to be a good thing for those of us that own gold. And for those of you that may think, well, gold is at $4,000 after the consolidation, you think you maybe missed the run. You have to ask yourself basic, simple questions. I pride myself on being a simple guy with simple ideas. And the simple questions I ask myself are, is the debt going down? Are they going to address it moving forward? Is money going to get more expensive? Are we going to have deflationary forces? And the answer to each one of those questions is a resounding no.
We were so confident in that we titled the talk, Trump Isn't Draining Anything, right? And that's what I said earlier, wanted his name on the stimulus checks when COVID hit, was adamant about that. And
he was president during COVID?
Of course, the money supply only goes up and to the right.
And so, again, if you were here last year and you were here the year before and you looked at the dollar and you had a pile of dollars and you had a pile of gold, we would have said you should probably have less dollars and more gold. And that would have led to an outperformance of, you know, some 48%. If you just kind of look at the chart and you compare the dollar index to the spot gold price. Now, If you compare it to some of the juniors, developers, and producers, especially the companies that know how to work a balance sheet, that have capital markets experience, that know how to explore in bear and bull markets, then we'll get into what some of the performance could have looked like with the leverage that the juniors, developers, and the producers provide. But if all you did was sell some dollars and buy some gold, you would have had a very, very robust year.
Yields.
Again, we were very adamant that we weren't going to see higher rates. We were going to see lower rates, and that that would be beneficial for gold. We are now in an environment where Jerome, Mr. Powell, is at the tail end of his tenure. And whether that happens in January or in May, if he serves out his term, you can bet your dollar or gold coin that the next Fed will be as dovish as we've seen in quite some time. And that's saying something, because under both administrations, we have had uber dovish Feds here over the past several decades. That is not a trend that will change by choice. That is a trend that is only going to change by necessity when the bond market one day calls government's bluff. I don't think that happens yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, I just have to interject after the elections of yesterday that, you know, Fed policy and presidential policy under both parties has really led to an exacerbation of wealth inequality that has the younger generation feeling the way they feel, that makes them want to vote the way they vote. Matt Taibbi was just downstairs talking about that, right? He didn't really mention the monetary policy as a driver of that, but I firmly believe that the K-shaped recovery or the wealth inequality, however you want to frame that, has these folks voting a certain way, right?
And listen, we tend to be impartial. Again, I'll speak for myself. I don't tend to like either major party, but you have to give credit where credit is due. And I'm very impartial and very good about doing that. And when it comes to critical metals policy in this country and fast-tracking permitting for our mining companies in this country and accelerating the development of securing independent critical metals supply chains that include gold, our Treasury Secretary, be absolutely clear, thinks of gold as a critical metal and has been thrilled to see the price go up given the US's large gold reserves. And so what this administration has been absolutely brilliant and spot on has been fast tracking permitting, really getting people at the table that have their finger on the pulse, companies like a Headwater Gold that are doing quality exploration in Nevada and other parts of the Western United States that are gonna help us narrow that deficit that's likely decades away from actually being on a level playing field. But you have to start somewhere, and kudos to this administration for taking the necessary steps to advance that and expedite that.
It's really put wind in the sails of what Gerardo and I do, especially in the realm of private placements, which is what we like to talk about at this conference. I gave a talk on it on Sunday. That's what our podcast was about here last year, companies that we had recently financed, and why we like them, and being able to get the direction of the big things right has led to success for us and subscribers over the course of the past 12 months. And I think what we're going to do now is run through a couple of companies and a little bit of track record of that private placement, of the private placements over the past year.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I have three beautiful boys at home, right? I always tell them, I've told them since they were young, little things add up to big things. Make sure you do the little things right and the big things will happen for you, right? And so in bear markets and bull markets, Nick and I have always had a due diligence checklist, and luckily enough, a network that has really afforded us the luxury of being able to do a lot of the little things correctly. And, you know, it's really paid off and led to some big things for us in the last several years. So what you're seeing here is not a cherry-picked list of our best private placements over the past 24 months, right? Which you get often. You'll see someone, you know, pounding the table about how their top 20 private placements have done so well. This is all of them. This is every single one that we've done over the past 24 months that we've offered to accredited subscribers of ours of private placement intel. So when we take pride in the due diligence process, when we take pride in the network that we've been fortunate enough to develop, this is why. These are the results that we've been able to deliver. And again, it's great to look back. I'm really excited to work in this market with the administration support and everything that's going on a macro level. However much I may disagree with the monetary and the fiscal policy, my responsibility and Nick's responsibility to subscribers, friends, and family try to profit from it, right? And try to make some good out of it. And I believe the end of this year and next year is going to be absolutely phenomenal. And hopefully we can continue this streak here.
Yeah, just a couple of call outs here. I said earlier, I listened to the podcast we did last year in this room, and Gerardo was talking about how Kingsman Resources could go up 300 or 400%. I mean, run your eyes down that chart and find Kingsman and see that it's up 440%. They're trading at $1.35 with warrants at 40 cents that are good for another year. So just a little shout out to Gerardo there when he talks about the companies he likes and why he likes them. It's definitely prudent to pay attention. And then some of these companies are here, right? Like he mentioned Headwater already, and Kincor is in the room with us, and then here at the conference, and many other ones. Lad Metals, which isn't on this list, but we finance privately in the room as well as some other ones. So make sure you talk to those folks, although we're kind of doing the swan song here at the end of the conference, but they'll make themselves available to you if you email them.
Yeah, and two points that are really important to me to highlight with this service, right? It's a service for accredited investors. One, we don't accept any fees or options from the companies that we provide access to. And so a lot of groups will offer you a private placement, and then they will be issued options in exchange for offering that. And they won't write a check, because why would they write a check? Because they already got some free options. Let's just go see if it works out. They don't really have skin in the game. When we recommended Kingsman is one of my personal largest positions to this day. Never, never have we accepted a fee. Never have we accepted an option. Never will we. Our interest, because most times we are writing checks alongside our subscribers, is to make sure that the deal works.
You want to talk about a couple companies?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to some of the stuff that we like. So last year I told everyone that I thought Kingsman had the potential for 300, 400, 500% returns. We've seen that. Kingsman still has the potential in the next 12 months for 300, 400, 500% returns. And let me explain to you why. The company has a market cap today, after that 400% increase, of $30 million. All that company's done since last year is start to drill its silver gold district. It's now brought on a gold silver district about 25 kilometers away from the project that's being drilled now. It's in the process of raising $3 to $4 million that'll give it a war chest to go and drill both projects, likely in the next several weeks. We're awaiting assays. We have assays pending on 11 holes. We had assays from one partial hole, which proved exactly what we wanted to see. This is a district that hadn't seen modern exploration since the 50s or so, and it had never been drilled below the water table. And I don't want to get too technical, but they have kilometers of strike at surface where they know the grades are fantastic and the scale and the continuity is what we wanted. We didn't know if that existed below the water table. We have to see what the other assays show, but the one hole number one, showed grade, showed mineable widths. And that's really exciting because, you know, the analog is a project called the Los Gatos project, which was a much further advanced producing asset about 40 kilometers away that was bought recently for $970 million. So when I say that I believe Kingsman has the potential to once again provide 300, 400, 500% returns, despite the fact that it's already done that in the past 12 months, I'm not just hoping for that. I'm actually basing that on, in real estate, they would call it comps, right? I'm basing it on what similar projects with similar results fetch in the market.
Yeah, board members, we got from Electrum.
Board members, not coincidentally enough, as soon as that Los Gatos transaction was complete, Mark Pryor, who was instrumental in making that deal happen, decided, hey, I just closed a $1 billion+ deal on the Canadian side. If you use the Canadian dollar, what should I do? What he did is he joined the board of Kingsman Resources. I like having that type of due diligence. I'm not a geologist. And so when I have someone like a Mark Pryor vet a company, look at the corporate structure, look at the asset, is intimately familiar with that belt and says, that's the next thing I want to do, that should signal to you that there's a likelihood, that there's a real good chance that it could be something special. And that's what we're counting on here. Hannon Metals. Hannon Metals managed, it's an interesting story, I'll try to be brief, but once upon a time in Peru, cocaine production was very prevalent, right? And there was this large part of land where nobody could go into because there was cocaine production that was very prevalent. And what happened is Peru and the U.S. government got in there to clean it up. And all of a sudden, all of this land, a whole entire belt of properties that nobody had ever explored, was available for staking. And quietly, this tiny little company, Hand in Metal, staked over 1,000 square kilometers. And what they have now, at a time where gold is 4,000 and copper recently touched new all-time highs, and silver is at $48, touched all-time highs here recently, all likely to head higher. What they have is a belt of copper, gold, and silver projects that I believe will be amongst the most exciting exploration stories of 2025, the end of this year, and 2026. The company is raising $5 to $7 million as we speak. Drills are turning. This is the first modern exploration that this belt has ever seen. And look, the market is impatient. The first couple of holes haven't found that discovery yet. I'm absolutely confident that the company will make a significant discovery in these initial three projects. Now, the anchor to the $100 million market cap is a project that we've nicknamed the Monster. It's a Cripple Creek lookalike. And when I say Cripple Creek lookalike, it's five square kilometers by 5 square kilometers of continuous gold at surface, with pockets of very, very, very high grade that include 26 meters of 5.4 grams per ton gold, 135.2 meters of 1.3 grams per ton gold. These aren't drill results. These are sample results. This is just the stuff that they're scooping off the top. And so this specific project, it's called Previsto, is being permitted as we speak. We expect permits to be granted sometime in May, June. The target here is a 15 to 25 million gold ounce monster. And it is the only type of system, or one of the only types of systems, that a company like Newmont goes after because of the scale and the potential for a very, very, very long mine life. So if you want an exciting, exciting exploration story that gives you exposure to copper, gold, silver, and I mean, it's a multitude of projects. They've already discovered 18 copper gold porphyry centers, and they've only explored 10% of their land. So we'll see drills turn here, likely for the next 5 to 10 years. I don't believe that the company will be around for more than two or three years, because once they start drilling that Previsto, that Cripple Creek analog, I think it's going to be ripe for a major, for the simple fact that these deposits aren't cheap to drill, right? It's capital intensive, but the prize is huge here.
And just coincidental that both Kingsman and Hannon happened to announce private placements in the past week or so. So some opportunity there if you're interested in those sorts of things.
Absolutely. And last but not least, so Lion Rock Resources is a story that is new-ish to us. It is gold, high-grade gold. It is lithium, high-grade lithium, and it's tin, high-grade tin. And it's on private land. And it's in America, in South Dakota. And the drills are turning, and it's got a tiny market cap of $25 million. Now, let me be absolutely clear. I wish we had got involved with the company when it went public, because we would have liked to have helped structure the company a bit better. And what I mean by that is the shareholders that were allowed to participate in the initial rounds of financing, because much with Kingsman and with Hannon, we know where the bulk of those shares are. And so when there's a quiet period, most of us aren't selling. We're there for the big game, right? With Lion Rock, there were some people that were let in the initial financings that, you know, have sold into the market. That's a phenomenal opportunity for you all. A $25 million market cap with drills turning right now. Every hole that they drill will be assayed for gold, lithium, and tin, because all three of those are at different parts of the hole. So what we're targeting is 50 to 100 million tons of lithium at around 3%. That would represent one of the highest grade lithium spodumene projects in the United States. It's early, right? We're just starting to drill, but this is a past producing district. We know the metallurgy. We know there's lithium there. It's never been drilled below 50 meters. The question is, what's below the 50 meters? Does it pinch and swell, or does it expand the way we think it expands? Some geophysics were done. It looks like it expands. The drill will prove it. We'll see what Mother Nature left behind. But there's the potential here to get 30 meters of 3% lithium. And in that same hole, get 10 meters of 15 grams per ton gold. We've already seen the samples of 18.2 grams per ton gold, lithium samples up to 5.4% lithium. So we know the high grade exists. We know it's past producing. We know it's produced in the past for all three. We just don't know how much is there. It's been in private hands for the past several decades. Gentleman was able to go behind the scenes and spend 2 years putting that fractured land package together. And look, we waited a long time to get the drills turning. We took a large stake in the last several financings. And we're excited to see what the drill bit turns out. We'll know pretty soon.
It might be worth talking about permitting, the slight delay they had, and tie that back to sort of Fast 41 type deals.
Absolutely. So government at times can be inefficient. And we were issued a permit that I say we, the company, because I have a large position, right? And if I'm talking about a company, no, I'm absolutely biased because I eat my own cooking. And so I say we because we were issued a permit to drill in August and we were excited. There was a rig on site. We had the money and we were ready to go. And then the state called and said, oopsies, we forgot to get an archaeological report from you. We need an independent one. It's going to take a little bit to get that. So we said, so is the permit valid? And they said, oh, no, absolutely. The permit's valid. You just can't use it. And so much to my chagrin, and exactly, that was my reaction. I'm not the most patient of investors when I think of things happening. I said, okay, every week I'm calling the company, I'm calling the state, and finally, last week, we were granted that final check of the box with the archaeological report. They found a can from the 1940s. That was the holdup, folks. And so what came out of this that may be a blessing in disguise is it took getting the leaders of the state to go down there, senators and BLM and all of the permitting authorities to go and take a site visit. So we could show them exactly what was there and what the intent was and what we were going to do and what would and wouldn't be disturbed. And the feedback and the response was glowing. And we think there's a really good likelihood because of the tin and the lithium that there's the potential there for further discussions with the state to fast track permitting on, you know, the production eventually of some of these commodities. Now, do we need that as investors and shareholders for the project to work? Absolutely not. Would it be the cherry on top? Absolutely, yes. That would be a good outcome for what was a frustrating 3 months while they checked that final box and let us get the drill turning. The drill started turning a week ago and I couldn't be more excited.
I think that's it for the companies. We can do some questions. We talked a lot about private placements, the track record over the past year. Maybe we talked a little bit about the gold price. We didn't really touch on the energy metals. Maybe I'll talk about that for a second. You've got a uranium market that's developing quickly in the United States. You have an administration that's behind that. I know you guys know this. You pay attention to the news, but you've seen the tech companies, the AI companies making direct investments into small modular reactor companies, partnering with utilities to restart reactors, to extend the life of reactors.
I just had a joke. It's funny to me that the mining guys and the tech bros are buddies now. So just a quick point.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And, you know, just like, you know, Elon Musk and then lithium a couple of years ago, there's no reason that these tech companies can't go downstream and start investing directly in miners. And I expect that's where it would go. I expect a lot more to unfold with the energy minerals and metals. We've seen the rare earths over the past year. We've had good success in that space as well with there's a company on that list called Cotech that is doing a rare earth recycling project. So a lot to be excited about, a lot more money to make, a lot more companies to finance. And we look forward to doing that with some of you all. I know there's some members in the room here and we had good success over the past year, but like they say, you ain't seen nothing yet. So with that, you can take us out of here and then we can take some questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Would love some questions. Sir.
What companies are you proposing for private placement going?
So the question is, what companies are you proposing for private placement going forward? We actually have one that's coming up right now. I'll let Gerardo keep talking because he's great at it.
Yeah, so thank you. I don't think everyone thinks so, but I appreciate that. No, look, we actually have several that we're working on right now. One that we just finalized our due diligence process on. We're waiting for a final announcement to be made formally. But where I think Nick and I have excelled and hopefully continue to excel is finding early stage companies where we know the management teams and we can take as a group a significant enough position to stay in the know and kind of guide the direction of where we would like things to go. Where we would like things to go is companies that can make you 3, 4, 5, 10 times your money in this environment, because I've never seen a commodity environment with this many tailwinds. I mean, this is the best that I've seen it in the 16 years that I've been in the space. And look, I have mentors that have been in this space for over 3 decades, and they think this is going to be the commodity cycle for the books. So this deal that's coming up is a private company that's going public. So no one's had the opportunity, right? They're in the process of a qualifying transaction. We're working on the final price and the final market cap, but smallish, $10, $15 million market cap with a group that we have made very, very, very good money with in the past, a group that we trust, a group that coincidentally has a pretty large land package in Australia and is looking to vend in other assets, primarily focused on gold and also interested in copper. You'll be hearing about that one in a week or so.
The timelines for raising money?
That's a good one on this one. So a part of what we requested was, because they're in the process of their qualifying transaction and the stock is halted right now, that process, by the time they get done checking the boxes, it's going to be about a 2-month process where the shares remain halted. That gives us the time to allow subscribers to get documents ready, capital allocated, and get everything in. So we'll probably introduce the deal in the next week or so. And as soon as we get the okay from the exchange, and it'll be live for at least a month to a month and a half.
Yeah, go ahead.
Closing then end of January,
end of January-ish. Everything moves slower than I would like typically, so I would hope so, yes.
Yeah, that's a capital pool corporation, a CPC, so it's halted at a certain price now. We'll do the qualifying transaction and do the concurrent financing, and then it'll come unhalted. Two things. The asset that's coming in has already been JV'd by Newmont, and the company's being run by the same gentleman who led Gerardo's most successful private placement ever, Patriot Battery Metals. So the same CEO, this is his next deal. And then after that, we got our sights on a uranium deal, likely in late November or early December. It's a company we already financed before at a very low valuation, sort of $5 million valuation. It's crept up to $20 million, but they've got a historic resource, 11 million pounds in the ground in the southwestern United States. And they obviously need more money to develop that. The theory is that they can prove that it's ISR amenable. So those are the next two we have our sights on for the next couple of months.
And a team with that uranium company that has monetized assets before and just brought over a director that was the former CEO of a billion-dollar uranium company. So when we're able to finance a uranium company at a $5 million valuation and then finance it again at a $20 million valuation, some people look at the 5 to 20 discrepancy and say, man, I missed it. But when you get that kind of management team at a $20 million valuation and they just went ahead and acquired that project, which has historic pounds in the ground and is in America, the timing couldn't be better and its company's going higher. Yeah. Sir?
So how do you become a subscriber or a member, whatever you call them?
The question is, how do you become a subscriber of Private Placement Intel? So you can type in that URL right there, that website, Private Placement Intel. It'll take you to the subscriber page. And if you're not already a member, you'll have the chance to click on an order page right there. It'll describe the next deal we're doing, which is the Capital Pool Corp that we just described. And for all of this year, we've been selling it for the same number as the year, $2,025. It's normally a $5,000 a year product, and that's going to come to an end at the end of this year for sure. So otherwise, take a card from me and send me an email, and I'm happy to help you out.
Yeah, and it should be noted, because of the size, so usually with these types of deals, well, our group will take, if the company is raising $2 million, we'll take the bulk of that. And because the size of these deals tend to be smaller, it allows us to get better deals for our subscribers, but it also forces us to limit how many subscribers we can have in that service. So that service is capped at 250 members, because anything above that, we're not going to be able to provide meaningful allocations to our subscribers. And so it does you no service to pay us a bunch of money to get you deals that you can't get enough of, right? And so it's capped at 250. I think there's like 120 spots left or so. And I suspect over the next month or two, those are going to go pretty quickly. So we'd love to have you come on board. Please reach out if you have any further questions. Happy to answer them. Sir?
What's the max allocation subscribers are allowed to finance?
It really depends on the financing. I mean, we've had allocations of, I think this next deal we're taking the full $2 million, if I'm not mistaken, right? And so on this one, we'll have some room for some bigger allocations. You know, we get subscribers at $10,000 is a meaningful allocation, and that's great if that works for you. We also have, you know, people that come in and they want a couple of hundred thousand, and if we can accommodate that, we'll accommodate that as well. And so, absolutely.
It's also case by case, deal by deal, how much they're raising, right? So the way it works is we find a deal we like, we want to participate in, either Gerardo or I writes up a full report, or we send it out, and then the allocations or the expressions of interest come in, we see what the book's at, and then sort of take it from there, right? Sometimes people have to get cut back, and it will, that either happens pro rata or, you know, the company decides how that goes. So sort of case by case, but what Gerardo says is correct. We've got guys that request, as soon as we put out a deal, they request $10,000 every time. And we've got guys that request $50,000, $100,000 every time.
Sometimes we raise too much money, right, Sam?
Well, the follow-up question, are you guys normally the exclusive financier, or do you often partner up through reps?
It depends on the deal. We like to take the bulk of it, but usually we don't take all of it. I would say, you know, the average, we probably take 50 to 60% of the deal. And that's strategic, because you have to be fair with the company. I mean, the company is going to have their own strategic people that they want to position, and they want a different kind of investor or shareholder to diversify the shareholder base away from just our group, which we completely understand and is fair. So, but again, real skin in the game. We're taking usually the bulk of it.
And hopefully the management's writing a check as well, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any other questions? Going once. I know the bar is waiting, folks. I understand. Trust me. All right. Well, listen, thank you all very much for coming. Have fun out there. Be safe. And if you have any other questions, please follow up.
Thank you.
Thank you all.